Good evening. As was announced, our scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Again, that is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will never overpower it. That was Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 from the New American Standard Bible.
Good to be here tonight. Hope everyone had a good, restful afternoon. On last week, we started the lesson by referring to the great exhortation that Joshua made in Joshua chapter 24 at verse 15. Choose this day who you will serve. And so we began to look at the choice between siding with God and siding with men, particularly as it relates to evolutionary theories and that sort of thing. And the reason that I preached that, I may have stated it last week, I can't recall. But one of the reasons I preached that is because I'm afraid for particularly our young people today, that they are faced with all kinds of false teachings with regard to what they learn at school, their teachers and professors. They all accept, along with most of their classmates, different evolutionary theories. And so they have to choose. We all have to choose between things like evolution and creationism. And so that's very important for our young people. And it's not just our young people. The lesson last week wasn't exclusively towards them. There are those in the church over the years who have left the faith because of leaning toward things like evolution. But there's something else that I think is a danger to our young people and also to some even seasoned saints. And that is denominationalism. We realize tonight that we in churches of Christ are the minority. There is no question about that. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it will always be. And so as you stop and think about it, there have been over the years many in the church who, again, have been in the church for a while, who, because of whatever the situation may be, have left the faith and gone to denominational churches. And so there's a threat there. But again, I'm particularly worried for our young people because it is hard to be a part of a minority. Like, when you stop and think about it, when it comes down to denominationalism and the people therein, there are literally millions and millions of people who have joined forces with denominational churches. And it's hard sometimes to choose to be with the minority, to choose to be with the few instead of the many. And over the years, we have lost young people to denominational teachings and practices, as well as those, again, who have even been in the church for a while. And so we have to choose, just like we have to make a choice between God and evolution and that sort of thing. We have to choose between the church that you read about in the Bible and denominational churches. And so for the next the next four Sundays that I will be here, at least I won't be here next week as it has been announced. But for the next four sermons that I preach on Sunday night, we want to look at the church versus denominationalism. And I hope that I can give some ammunition to our young people, or even if some of our young people or others here at Brown Street are thinking about denominationalism and whether it is right or wrong, or even about the church and whether it is right or wrong. I hope that you can look at these things and then make a good, intelligent, and reasonable choice with regard to the church versus denominationalism. And so we're going to, in these four lessons, each lesson, I won't take very much of your time. We're going to look at four different things. We're going to start with the organization of the church. We're going to look at the work of the church, the worship of the church, and then finally, what the church teaches with regard to God's plan of salvation. Those are very simple things. And most of you are well schooled in those things and have made a stand with regard to those things. But every once in a while, we find again, even in the church, individuals wavering a little bit with regard to denominationalism and all that they teach in practice. So let's take just a little bit of time looking at that. And we begin by emphasizing the church. And as most of you know, when we think about the church, we think first about the universal church. The passage that Harold read for us just a few moments ago, Matthew 16 at verse 18, Jesus making the promise to build his church, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." That, of course, was the universal church. As you can see on the screen, the universal church is made up of all the saved. And it's very important for us to understand the composition of the universal church. It's made up of people. It's made up of saints. That is, individual saints. It is not made up of churches. It is not made up of denominations. It's not made up of local churches. It's not made up of clubs or councils or anything like that. The universal church is made up of people. You might turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and notice this simple statement that was made by Paul as he was writing to the saints at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verse is 27. Notice the language here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and at verse 27 it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Individually. People obey the gospel. Churches don't obey the gospel. People do. In Acts chapter 2, when we have the first gospel sermon that was preached by Peter, you remember about 3,000 souls were baptized. They obeyed the gospel. 3,000 individuals obeyed the gospel. And so the universal church is made up of people. Now, that is a pretty important point. I'm not getting into all of the reasons why, but there's a lot of issues that have even caused trouble among liberal brethren. They are what they are to some extent because they think that the universal church is made up of local churches of Christ, but it's not. The universal church is made up of people, individual people. And so the people that make it up are those who are saved. Now, again, we'll have a particular lesson on God's plan of salvation, but the saved are those who obey the unperverted gospel of Christ. It's not every religiously inclined person. It's not every person who thinks he or she might be saved. It's those who are actually saved because they obeyed the gospel of Christ. That's the universal church. And then, of course, we have in the Bible local churches. Local churches, and this is where organization comes into play. One thing I didn't mention, but I might just in passing, that the universal church doesn't have organization. There is no organization. It's just people. That's all it is. There's no address that you can look up and go visit the universal church. There's no phone number that you can call. It's just made up of all the saved. But local churches, that's different. Local churches have organization. It's a very simple organizational structure. You see it on the screen. It's made up of elders, deacons, and saints. Philippians chapter 1 and at verse 1 is one of the passages that deal with that. It is a nice, neat little verse that mentions specifically elders, deacons, and saints. And that's why we usually refer to it. We could go to many other passages and we can read about elders and we can read about deacons and we can read about saints and we could put it all together and see the organizational structure of the local church. But Philippians 1 and at verse 1 is very clearly stated. That's the organization of the local church, elders, deacons, and saints. As we think about the local church, a local church, Christians who have agreed to work together in a specific geographical location like 1835 Brown Street. Now, you open up your Bible and you see local churches throughout. There was a local church at Jerusalem. There was a local church at Troas, local church at Corinth. Paul wrote to the local churches of Galatia. And of course, we have the local church at Philippi and so on and so forth. And so as we're thinking about making a decision, as we're thinking about the church, it is important that you see what the Bible sets forth with regard to the church. You only read of the church in two ways in the New Testament. The universal church made up of all of the saved, and then local churches made up of Christians who decide to work together in a specific geographical location. Now that's it. But let's just quickly take a little closer look with regard to this local church. We find that the churches were called churches of Christ. Romans 16 at verse 16. That's one designation that we find in the New Testament. Paul said, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, as I've often pointed out, the name isn't everything, but it is something. It is important that the church wears the name of Christ. Why? Because the church is the bride of Christ. Now, as you are thinking about the church versus denominationalism, you need to think about that. You need to look at the fact that denominational churches, for the most part, they don't wear scriptural designations. They wear designations that glorify man. They wear designations that man has just thought up and conjured up in their own mind. Nothing that you can put your finger on. With churches of Christ, we can put our finger on the passage. Young people, it's very important that as you begin to think about what is right, is the church of Christ really right? I know I've been taught that. I've learned that, but is it really, really right? And is denominationalism really wrong? Could it be the case that both are right? Well, as you stop and try to weigh through all of that, I want you to think about the fact that you can open up the Bible and you can read about the church of Christ therein. Now, name is not the only thing. We can find, and we'll be showing over these four lessons, the church of Christ as it is revealed in the scriptures, not only in name, but in work, in worship, and even in doctrine and what it teaches. But you can open up the Bible and you can see, you can turn to a passage that refers to churches of Christ. That carries some weight. It should carry some weight. Denominational churches, for the most part, can't do that. Now, there's a denomination or two that have hijacked the name of the church, and so they might have a scriptural name, and that's why it's important to point out that the name isn't everything. You can have the right name and still be the wrong church, but you can't have the wrong name and be the right church. And so the name is important. It's not everything, but it is important. The local churches were referred to as churches of Christ. We also find that there was always a plurality of elders in these local churches. I'm not going to take the time tonight. We could go in great detail in all of this, but I'm not going to take the time to read all of these passages, but you have them on the screen. And if you're really weighing these things, if you're considering these things, you need to write these passages down and look them up. It's very important to see. In the New Testament, whenever you find elders in a local church, there's always a plurality of elders. Always. You look at the passage and it will always refer to a church singular that has elders plural. That is the pattern. That is God's way. Now, you need to compare that to what you find in faithful churches of Christ. Even here at Brown Street, what do we have? Do we have one elder? No. Do we have simply a pastor who has the rule and the control over this local church? No. You'll find that in denominationalism, but you won't find that in a faithful church of Christ. We have elders, plural. Why? Because that's what we read of in the Bible. Not only that, we find that the elders are to shepherd the flock which is among them, 1 Peter chapter 5 and at verse 2. Very important. Again, as you do your research and you begin to weigh, is the church really right? Is denominationalism really wrong? You'll find that denominationalism don't follow this pattern. Only shepherd the flock which is among you. And most denominations, they have bishops who will oversee or have a work that involves a plurality of local churches within that particular denomination. In fact, as we move on, just to look. Now, this is what the Church of Christ looks like, the universal church and the local church. Very clear. This is, by the way, what we teach in practice in local churches of Christ. Well, what about denominationalism? As we look at the church versus denominationalism, denominational churches look like that. As you've heard me say before, a denomination is a church of churches. That's the real definition, religiously, of what a denomination is. It is not their false teaching that makes them a denomination. It's how they are organized. It is a church of churches. Every denomination in existence, a church of churches. And so you that's what you see, something that looks like that. I'll give you an example a little bit of their organizational structure in just a minute. But I want you to look at that on the screen. Keep in mind what you saw on the screen a moment ago. What you read about in the Bible, the universal church, made up of all of the saved, and then the local church, with elders, deacons, and saints, and the elders have the oversight of that local church and only that local church, and they're completely and totally autonomous. That versus denominationalism, where you have a church of churches. Now you ask yourself the question, what exactly is that? What is this? And this is typical. I could put any name of any denominational churches up there. I just put denominational churches, but every denomination is made up the same way. They may have a few little differences here and here, but they're all a church of churches. Now, what is that? You say, well, maybe that's the universal church. No, that's not the universal church. That's too small to be the universal church. And the fact of the matter is, almost every denomination that I know of today, this is a little bit different than it was some years ago. But so far as I know today, every denomination denies being the universal church. I don't believe, I could be wrong about this, but I don't believe that even the Catholic Church believes that they're the only church. They used to believe that. I don't think even they. I think more as time goes on, they accept other churches as at least including saved people. Remember, the universal church is made up of all the saved. So this is not that. This is not that. It's not a universal. Well, if it's not a universal church, then what exactly is it? Is it a local church? No, it's too big for that. It's clearly not a local church. A denomination is made up of local churches. Now, just keep in mind, we know what the church looks like. We have seen it in the Bible. The universal church and the local church, that's it. Denominational churches, they're not either one. They're in between. Listen to me. Anything in between the universal church and the local church is not right. But that's what you find with denominationalism. As you are thinking, you know, there are millions and millions of people who are part of denominational churches. Can they all be wrong? Are we really, really sure that the Church of Christ is right and that denominational churches is wrong? Just look at the facts. And ask yourself the question, what exactly is that? A church of churches. Not the universal church, not the local church, is in between. That makes it unscriptural. In fact, by the nature of it, it's anti-scriptural. Because the very concept of denominationalism leads to division. And the Bible teaches that saints are to be united, that we're to be of one mind and of one judgment. Denominationalism pushes and promotes diversity. And they, when it comes down to doctrine, it doesn't matter what you teach. We can teach all these different diverse things, but it's okay. We can wear different names and be organized just a little bit differently here and there. That's all okay. In fact, they think it's wonderful. It's wonderful that there's a different denominational church on every corner. That's great. That way you can join, they say, the church of your choice. Oh, that's great. No, it's anti-scriptural. It's not what God wants. It confuses the world. And it turns people away from God, away from Christ, away from so-called organized religion. But that's what you have. And so you have that versus what we have seen with regard to the church you read about in the Bible. And Joshua said, choose this day. You have to choose to be a part of one or the other. Last week, we kind of indicated. Now, you know, you say, well, I just choose not to be a part of anything. I just choose to be an atheist. Well, as you stop and think of God being the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the evidence for that, you don't want to go that route. God is the one with whom we all have to do. But if you want a favorable judgment from God, you need to become a part of the church you read about in the Bible, not a denominational church. Let's look a little closer at denominational churches and how they look like so far as individual denominations go. Here's the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Notice their organization. They have a pastor, and then they have a chairman, a deacon board. They have administration assistant, and then all these various ministers you see on the screen, a counseling ministry and business administrator and all of that. That's complicated, isn't it? Much more than what you saw on the screen when you were looking at the church you read about in the Bible, universal church and the local church. Elders, deacons, and saints, period. It's very simple when you stick with the Bible. You look at the Bethel Baptist Church. They have Christ, of course, then a congregation. And within that congregation, what do they have? Elders, deacons, and saints. No, they have a senior pastor. Listen to me. There is no such thing as a senior pastor in the Lord's church. You have a plurality of elders, and they all have equal authority. No such thing as a senior pastor. They have their board of directors, their kingdom council, and then they have their deacons, even deaconess and all of that. That's not what you read about in the Bible. We could go on and look at these various denominations. The First United Methodist Church, again, the clergy, and then you have the bishop and the council of bishops even, and then the elder. Even though in the Bible, when you begin to look at the Bible, the elder and the bishop are one and the same thing. But not in denominational churches, they're different. With one group, usually the bishops having more authority than the simple elder. Then you have the deacon and then the local pastors and laity. And all of that stuff you don't read about in the Bible. Choose this day. That's what you see with denominationalism. Choose between that and this. Something very simple. The universal church, made up of all the saved, those who obey the unperverted gospel, and then local churches with elders, deacons, and saints, with the elders always being a plurality of them, overseeing only the flock which is among them. Make a choice. Those of us who are faithful members of churches of Christ, we have chosen to side with the Bible. This is exactly what you have again here at Brown Street. Elders, deacons, and saints. Our elders don't oversee a bunch of local churches, just us. We have obviously a plurality of them. We have elders, deacons, and saints. It's just simple as that. It's not complicated at all. The problem is the majority side with those other things that you have seen on the screen. They have sided with denominational churches. And I know it's hard, particularly for young people. growing up in a society where your friends and schoolmates all belong to various denominational churches. It's hard sometimes when even family have joined denominational churches, but choose this day who you will serve. It has to be either God or you take the side of man, whether it's talking about evolutionary things or religious things like denominational churches versus the church you read about in the Bible. Clearly, those who are sound are going to side with the Bible and stick with the simple pattern of the Word of God. Well, we'll look at something else next time. We'll look probably at the work of the church and see the comparison. What work does the church you read about in the Bible do? What work do denominational churches do? There's a difference, and we'll point it out. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do it today or tonight? We haven't talked specifically about God's plan of salvation, but it is very simple. Acts 2 at verse 38, if you're not a Christian, you can become one by repenting of your sins and being baptized. You can do that this very night. There's water right behind me. We can baptize you. In a few minutes, you can be a child of God. We hope that you'll make that good decision. If you're a child of God and not living right, you're not going to be allowed into heaven just because you obeyed the gospel at some point. Be faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and at verse 10. Then you will receive a crown of life. If you haven't been doing that, repent. Ask God for forgiveness. Repent and pray God, Acts 8 at verse 22. And you can be restored to faithfulness with God. If you've sinned publicly, come forward. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage you the best we can, help you stay on the right track. Whatever you need to do, do it right now as we together stand and sing.